I make my mistakes in life. Something happens, right? And if I can just own it instead of feeling desperate in that moment, it shifts the energy and it's much more trustable than someone who starts backpedaling or diminishing herself.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez, your host and the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. And today it is my great pleasure to bring to you a slightly different kind of episode than we've been doing recently, which is a coaching episode. And this episode, we're going to spend a goodly amount of time going deep with one of my favorite people in the world. She's a woman who I call a friend, and she's a colleague of mine. Her name is Amy Yamada. I'm going to let her introduce herself in just one moment. But she has generously offered to be coached publicly on this podcast. And I'm thrilled by that because she is one of the most authentic women I know. And we connected on the topic of authenticity when we met. And one of the things that she said to me was, I loved the story that you told last night because it was so authentic. I could feel your authenticity in that share. And I was just being me. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's true. Like there was no guise there. There was no angle to the story. And I find the same with Amy, that she brings a level of authenticity to her life and to her business that is really admirable. So before we launch into the coaching, I would love for you, Amy, to take a minute and introduce yourself, both like what your business is, where you're at in your business career, how long you've been at it for, anything about your personal life that you want to share and contextualize so that the person listening in the, you know, podcast sphere can relate to you and go, oh yeah, that's like me who I was 5 years ago, or that's like me who I want to live into, or that's me right now. Oh my God, I relate to that. So, okay, Amy Yamada, please introduce yourself and thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you for having me, Amira. And I'm really excited about this because it is a very unique format of a podcast. You know, like I love the idea of allowing myself to be coached, and also my hope is that it helps anyone out there that can relate to, like you said, where I am or where you've been for those of you watching or listening, and where you're going. So, gosh, you know, it's so interesting when I think about that question around like to introduce myself and where I am in my business. It always takes me down a little bit of a journey in thinking about, you know, I worked in the corporate world for about 15 years here in Seattle. And in that last year or so, I definitely had that deep calling within me of like, it's time to go off on your own. It's time to spread your wings. It's time to really explore like what it looks like to be your own boss, to be your own business owner. And that was a good 12 plus years ago at this point. And I think back and I see this journey of the highs and lows, the peaks and valleys of it all. And when I think back to those first few years, I think back to someone who was searching for someone or for something, something bigger, something better. And I was all over the place, right? And so to make a long story short, I've had my business coaching business for the last 12 plus years. And in the last year or so, I've been in a big pivot with AI and authentic marketing with AI, authentic messaging with AI. The through line of everything that I've done over the last 12 plus years has been around authenticity and deep human connection. And so whenever I now talk to people about AI and I'm all about deep human connection, they're like, how does that come together? And so what I've been up to now is really around empowering entrepreneurs to leverage AI in a way that brings in their authentic voice and speaks to their ideal client so that they're leveraging the tool as something that helps them to amplify their message in the best way possible. So
yeah.
Yes, it's been, it's for sure been a journey.
I love that. I love that. So I want to give a plug to your AI business. So Amy and I have talked about doing some sort of collaboration on this. So you might see something in the near future. But I've used recently, within the last 3-4 weeks, her AI tools that are all about like creating an ideal client handbook and copywriting things and focus groups, and it's amazing. She, because she's my friend, helped me tweak it and then gave me just a few little concepts to run with. And I have been using it and teaching my team to use it, and it is freaking amazing. Now, it's not a substitute for human connection, as you just said, and it's not a substitute for you writing your own stuff and like editing and putting your lens on it. Like, I write all my own emails, right? But there are things in the business that, you know, it just is so much easier if you have a template that, or a framework first, and then you can like go, no, not let's that, or let's change this, let's change that. You still have to put yourself into it to make it authentic and connected. But man, Amy has created something amazing. So what's your website again?
Right now, I do have two websites. I hate to be that person that has two websites, but I have my amyamata.com website. And then we're putting the final touches. So it should be done literally within the next week or so, called idealclient.ai. And that's been a big focus over the last handful of months of building out. So my vision, just to share it here, is to have idealclient.ai to become the go-to resource for all things ideal client, because it's a skipped over element of messaging everywhere. And it's the most important root of messaging, of marketing, of your offers, is to deeply understand your ideal client, not just their demographics or psychographics, but their emotions and their gaps and what it is that they want, their unmet needs, their desires. So this tool that we've built out, I couldn't be more excited about it, because it has helped so many entrepreneurs, and I'm excited for more people to get access to this, to not have to have it all figured out on their own and not have to do hours and hours and hours of market research. It really is a market research tool for deeply understanding your ideal client's emotions and motivations.
Yeah, so, it's phenomenal.
If they've done for you customized, deep qualitative analysis based on just a few, just literally two main questions. What is your purpose? And what is your desired outcome for your ideal clients? And when people answer these two questions, it goes into our AI, and then within about 15 minutes, it'll email you this most in-depth ideal client handbook that you can then use as an AI primer, or just to deeply understand your ideal client.
Hey there, I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success in building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. So to start the coaching, right before we hit record on this, we were talking about how to approach this and whether you wanted to bring a particular issue that is coming up for you in your work, in your business, in your personal life, or whether we should go through the different shadows of success that I have outlined on our website. And Amy opted for the latter. So I am going to read these. And when you relate to one, please stop me and we'll dig in a little bit. And I might stop there, or I might give you the option to relate to all seven of them, right? And let's see where we go. And we'll use that as the frame for how to dig into the coaching. And for those listening, the reason I'm totally fine doing it like this, if you are an entrepreneur, a high achiever, someone who's a CEO, you are always in growth. You are someone who has a growth mindset. So you're always looking to improve. That doesn't mean that there is something that is cutting you down at the knees and stopping you from moving forward, because that's not your personality type. You're going to be moving forward nonetheless. You're probably going to have a positive attitude. You're going to get on with it. And you're not going to necessarily see some of the things that in your quiet moments or between the big initiatives, right? Oftentimes it's like you achieve the goal, and then there's this moment of quiet and you're like, oh, what the hell am I doing with my life? And you fill that with something new to go after because you don't want to deal with that emotional discomfort, but you're not falling apart. There's nothing falling apart about you. So I love this as a format because there's nothing falling apart about Amy. Okay. Though all of us are human, just, you know, there's no perfect out there in this world. Okay. Shadow one, the 4 out of 5 problem. Life is pretty great and things look pretty good on paper, but there's still one thing missing. Okay. So, you know, most things are great, but there's one thing that you are looking at in your life or your business, and it's like a repetitive thing, and you don't get traction in that area. For some people, it's their love life. For some people, it's their weight. For some people, it's their relationships with their team, right? And keeping people on their team. Sometimes it's cash flow. Like you're making more money, but you still have got the roller coaster of like some, you have banner months and low months and it's up and down kind of thing. Okay. So that would be the 4 out of 5 problem.
Now, well, one thing I love, I do want to keep going, but one thing I love about this, I think that there's always an area of life or business that can be improved. So, okay, let's keep going though, because I feel like intuitively I'll hear one. I'm like, that one is the one I want to go deeper.
Okay.
In.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Shadow two, superwoman status. You're exceptionally competent, efficient, and accomplished. You project a persona of having it all together. Anyone looking in from the outside would think things are going really well, but on the inside, you don't feel great. And it often feels like there's no one there to support you when you need it. That's a really common one for super driven, ambitious, competent women. It's like, oh yeah, we can take care of that. We can take care of that. We'll do that. We'll do that. You know, that old adage of like, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. That's this, right? And so you end up taking care of everything, even though you have a team to do things, you don't feel like there's anyone supporting you, taking care of you, understanding that at the end of the day, you need some love and tenderness and support and help either in your personal life at the end of the day or in business. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, super relatable. And one of the things that I notice even with my clients or colleagues or friends are like, even if I'm facing something, they'll say, it's almost like they don't see it as a problem. Cause like, oh yeah, but you're you, Amy, you'll figure, like, you'll find a way, you'll figure. On one hand, I thank you for the validation. On the other, I'm like, I'm human too. Right. Like, like I process my own stuff too. And so, yeah, once again, very, very relatable for sure.
Yeah.
I can think of a few things that we can go into there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good lens on it too. That like people like, they think they're giving you a compliment by saying, oh, you'll figure it out, which is true. You will. You don't want to be talked down to, right? You don't, sure. You don't want to be like treated like you're incapable. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, that was a big deal that we're going through right now. We have to solve this problem. This, you know, come on, let's go, right? Help me out here. Shadow number three, which is similar to the previous one, but a slightly different version. Solo and successful. Is shadow number three, successful, but alone. You've worked so hard in your professional life, even on yourself, but you are missing true connection. You have people in your life, but you don't know if they want you for you or for what you can do for them, AKA, why do I feel unlovable? So there's that one. So this is where you don't feel like you have true friends or true connections, that people are like, you're so successful. People are just, are they being nice to me because I'm their boss or I have a lot of money or they want to get close to me to get access to something else, right? That's this one. Yeah.
Yeah. At one point I definitely felt that way, but then I started to really focus on building relationships with those that I wanted to surround myself with, including yourself, you know, and just actually taking the time to meet up in person and get on calls and check on each other. And so now I do feel like I've created an exceptional community around me and, yeah. You know, partnerships and friendships. So I, I have experienced that, but I'm grateful to say that I'm good with that one right now.
Intentional communities are so important because you need other people who get you. And we actually have a program this year that's called Captivating Power. And that's where we're bringing together a very small, intimate, remarkable group of just six women who are working at the highest level to come together and really create a community where they can support each other. And then we have our Exquisite Life Mastermind as well, which is also very small and intimate. And those two programs are there for you if this is something that you're interested in. Okay, shadow number four, trauma chasing. Chasing accomplishments as a trauma response, a pattern of creating urgency and driving hard, not always in ways that are healthy or support you. Bank accounts climb, but you're emotionally bottomed out. Also known as, I just did the thing, so why do I feel so empty? Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is like, you've achieved the big thing. You set that goal. You went after it. You got it done. And it's like hollow. It's like, but you're doing it to fill a void. It keeps you busy, but then the void's there when you're done.
So good. I mean, I feel like we could go down any one of these paths. They're so relatable. Okay. I want to hear the rest of them because I think I'm one of those people who are like, I want to hear them all. And I'm going to pick one because all of them are so relatable.
Okay. Shadow number five, all or nothing. Fear of losing it all if you change your MO, your modus operandi. What made you successful in business is now the very thing that's holding you back and it's costing you the thing that you want. Yet you wonder, if I change my MO, will I still be as successful financially and achieve your goals? So this is a big one for people. High achievers often from their childhood have learned conditioned way of behaving, often doing that trauma chasing thing, like dealing with the world, but in a way that is culturally acceptable and plus actually gets you amazing success in life, right? Financial success, public status, various different things. And so at a point in your career, your business path, you stop and you go, this is not sustainable anymore. I don't feel good doing it like this. Sometimes there's exhaustion there. There's an emotional burnout around it. And you think, okay, I have to do it differently. And you think, how can I do it differently? That's the part of me that motivates me to get the big things done. I'll be completely flatlined on the couch, not doing anything if I let go of that.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. 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 Next one. Shadow number six, sensual flatline. You've lost touch with your sensual power. You often don't feel tapped into the beauty or power you know to be yours as a woman and find yourself living a flat, practical, task-oriented life. I know that this one was me for many years where I was like the woman with comfortable shoes. I'm still about comfort, but I like my girly stuff too, right? And I was working so hard that I lost feeling not just tapped into my own beauty and my own sensuality, but the sensuality of life, right? Like appreciating the moment and feeling lit up and delightful and sexy and just turned on by yourself in life.
Yeah. I know. I feel like there was a time when I had a number of like back-to-back months even where all I felt like was every day was just like, just got to get as much done as possible, you know? And at the end of the day, it's like nothing left for me, right?
That's exactly it.
Definitely leads to burnout. Don't recommend for sure.
Right? Exactly. Okay. And then the last one, shadow number seven, is the wholeness hole. You know, there's something missing. You keep filling yourself up with other stuff in quotes, be that shopping, alcohol, work, etc. You just want to be connected to your soul and source. So this is, you know, something's missing. You know that it feels like maybe you're creating artificial urgency or you're trying to make yourself happy in some way, but you're really, you know that it's way beyond the next thing that you want to buy or the next, you know, work project that you're going after, it's really around like you want to be deeply connected to source, infinite intelligence, the oneness of this world that's going to truly fill you up.
Wow. These are, I love that you went, thank you for just kind of going over all that. And I hope that those of you watching and listening, it's like, I feel like there's relatability in every single one of them, honestly. And when I think about it, cause I just took notes on each of these, I think that there's kind of a blend of a few of them that I'd love to be coached on, which is exciting to me. So when I look back at what you've covered, there's a few. So one of them is like the 4 out of 5 problem. So I feel like there are a lot of things that are great in my life at this point in my journey. With, you know, I know you and I shared this when we met up recently in Dallas, that I'm happy to say I'm with the love of my life. And that wasn't always the case, you know, in my past life. But I'm with the love of my life. We have incredible, his kids are, I call them my soul kids. So family's good. You know, I'm working out consistently. I love where we live here in Seattle. So I'd say that if there was one thing that I'm right now in this moment is I've been in a pivot in my business, and it's not just like an overnight pivot or like, oh, I'm going to tweak this thing in a program that I'm hosting. Right. It's a pretty big pivot. And so there are definitely moments where I'm like, I'm totally out of my comfort zone. You know, and I feel like a new entrepreneur again, even though I've had my business for over 12 years. And so this new direction that we're going is, it's what we talked about. It's with it's in the AI world. It's with developing this product. And, so what I find is that I certainly don't have it all figured out. I'm navigating as I go, as I'm connecting with other seasoned entrepreneurs. So there's definitely this feeling of like, okay, like this is a next level that I'm going to. And then when you're talking about like the wholeness whole, I was just thinking about how recently I've noticed a pattern within me that, you know, whenever I have had like a pivot, an epiphany of where I get to go with my business, and all these doors start opening, there's a part of me that is almost like looking for something to be wrong, you know, like a self-sabotage, like almost like too good to be true, too many doors opening, too, like there, and I'm sure there's something from childhood, like just like never enough, right? So There's something there that it was yesterday that I recognized this pattern within me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many opportunities that have just opened literally within the last week. And I'm looking for the thing that's going to stop me. And it's almost like a trigger, a reaction, but what if this happens? Or what if, you know, like, what about this thing over here that's not even real? So I think I believe there's something there that has been in my subconscious literally until yesterday. And then when I know, I'm like, oh yeah, this reminds me of the last time I was right about to go to my next growth, and not just in my business, but my mindset, my capability, my skill set. Yeah. So I'm out of my comfort zone again with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a really good one. So when you think, when you look at those thoughts that are coming up and, you know, you're looking at what's going to stop me, can you share with me, like, is this a constant underlying noise around like every decision you're making, every conversation, it's like underlying anxiety and worry under everything? She's nodding her head for those in podcast listening mode, right? Or is it just around specific things? So it's ubiquitous.
So it's definitely, for me, it is business related. Like I say it's business related, but I believe that on a deeper level, it's,
I get that it's business related, but like, is it everything with the business? Like you wake up in the morning, you start, you get into go mode. And from the moment you're in go mode, you're like, you got this underlying anxiety or Okay. Got
like,
it.
It hasn't always been the case for like years and years. It's been more so, I would say, but for multiple months, for sure. Like I don't like to do this, but I know we're all about authenticity and vulnerability here. So I'm just going to be real. Yeah. Like I wake up and I'm like, okay, like here we go, you know? And I believe that just, I'm out of my comfort zone once again. And there's like a combination of excitement because of all the momentum that's happening around me and the fear of like, what if it all collapses or what if this, you know, since we're going deeper into technology than I've ever been in. And what if the technology breaks, you know, like just, so I have these fears. Okay. I'm like, pause. I'm like, okay, is that real? You know?
Yeah. So I know you have a lot of tools for managing this already. And I also want to just make a little note. Part of my coaching style is that I'm going to interject and interrupt when I want to go deep in a place or shift the conversation. So it's not being rude. I'm just wanting to direct us. Okay. So I know you have a lot of tools at your disposal, and you know how to self-manage really well. What I want to dig into here is you said that the big thought was, what if it all collapses? Okay. Like that, this is this underlying thought that keeps resurrecting, recurring again and again. So let's just ask that question. What would happen if everything collapses? Would you go bankrupt? Would it be emotional shame? What's at risk right now?
I believe that it is related to emotional shame. I think there's a part of me that I've heard other driven women say as well around I should be further along than where I am now. Haven't I figured this out yet? And perhaps it's ego. On one hand, I am a big risk taker. And I think so to answer your question, I would say it's emotional shame. Like if everything collapsed, I think my worry would be like that there would be a deep self-judgment around why didn't I have it figured out at that point? You know, like what decisions did I make that were not fully considered or like.
Let's go back to that statement.
Yeah.
Why didn't I have it all figured out?
Yeah.
Okay. So your wise and aware self goes, duh, of course you're not going to have everything figured out. If you did, the business would already be done, right? Like part of the journey is figuring it out. Okay. So, but we're not talking to your wise and evolved self. Okay. I want you to go back and think, when you think about that, like, why don't I have it all figured out?
Yeah.
What is the first memory that comes to you around that? And don't overthink this. It's like what pops in your head from childhood generally, the younger, the better, but like, it doesn't matter if it makes sense. I just want to know what pops into your head.
Yeah. What pops into my head is I remember, like, I don't remember the specific moment, but I remember as a child, as a little girl, there was some moment where my interpretation of the world was, okay, got it. In order to be loved and accepted and I probably didn't use the word successful at the time, but successful, I need to show up as a certain person. Like I need to.
What was that memory?
It's What's a memory. It's a memory of a thought of being a little girl and wanting to make friends, you know, wanting everyone to like me and recognizing that when at that age, when I would let people in too deep, then I might get my feelings hurt.
Okay.
So then I consciously was like, oh, okay. You know, my interpretation of that was, okay, so I've got this figured out now. I'm only going to let in people to a certain point and then I won't let them in deeper. And that was a conscious decision as a little girl. And so for many, many years, even coming into adulthood, I put on this mask of like, okay, I'm going to show up as this, you know, good daughter, this good student, this good employee, this good, like, I'm going to show up a certain way so I can be accepted and loved. And then.
So that's one of the big things. We want to be loved.
Yeah.
We want to be safe and we want to belong. Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay. But I'm looking for the actual memory where you learned, not the intellectualization. So if there was a moment right before that little girl made that intellectual decision that was little Susie hurt my feelings, that's what I'm looking for. Or was it mom or dad or sister, brother? I don't know if you have siblings, actually.
Yeah, I do have two older brothers. Gosh, I'm trying to remember. Like usually I'm able to go to a moment that this is like, just a kind of a vague memory of like a thought process. But I definitely had, I had a close friend, I had a best friend. And to this day, we've stayed in touch over the years, but at one moment she was like my best friend. I was 7 years old and, I went to her house and we were playing outside and I had an accident, right? I fell literally on my front teeth. So I was pushing her little brother on this, like one of those big wheel things. And I was pushing him and we were playing house. And that was like I was the sister, she was the mom, and her little brother was a baby and he was in the carriage. Like we just made up this whole scene and I was pushing him. and he started pedaling. And so my hands went up in front of me and I fell on my front teeth. So I broke my front teeth. And, you know, I didn't think much of, I mean, you know, yes, it was an accident, you know, I cried, I'm sure, but, I didn't think it was that big of a deal because anytime I would, you know, skin my knee or like hurt myself, like, oh, you put a bandaid on it, you heal, you're fine. But my parents were really upset. My dad in particular was really upset that, he blamed the other, my friend's parents for not watching us at that time to say, be careful, be careful.
Did you chip your teeth?
Oh yeah. I broke my front teeth, like totally broke them, had to get, crowns at the time. And then it's been a whole thing, but I don't think of it anymore in my life. But at the time, what happened was my parents said, oh, you're not allowed to go to your best friend's house ever again. And I was like, what? Like as a 7-year-old girl, your best friend is everything, right?
Yeah. So this is really interesting, Amy. So this is, if I don't have it all figured out, if I haven't managed the situation well enough, I thought I had it figured out, but I didn't because there was this variable. Oh, he can pedal that I didn't have like locked and loaded as a 7-year-old.
Right.
I am going to lose not only the love of my parents, right? That feeling of security and connection and love there, but also the sense of belonging. I'm going to lose belonging. And we need that. So just as context, I think you understand this already, but, you know, we still have cellular knowledge of what it means to be thrown out of the pack, right? If we were thrown out of the tribe, we would have been eaten by wolves, right? Like it was dangerous to be outside of the castle walls, if you will, right? And so belonging is a very instinctual, visceral safety and security kind of requirement for us. And so you've got those three things all wrapped up in one memory here. Okay.
Right. Yep. Okay. Yep. Totally.
Okay. And, you know, you had a bonded relationship with your father and you didn't want to upset him and he was upset and right. All of this stuff. Okay. So that little girl did the best she could with what she had. And she made meaning that said, I need to figure everything out. If I get everything exactly dialed in, if I can manage all the variables, then I'll be safe.
Right.
I'll belong and I'll continue to be loved. Okay. Yeah,
totally. I'm just writing this down. This is so good. I love what you said. Just like recognizing, I like what you said, managing the variable. I need to have it all figured out. Right. Like, that was definitely the thought process that I can see even as a, you know, full circle to today. And then the second, just the last piece of that story was that not only did my father say, you're not allowed to go to her house anymore, but then shortly after that, you know, of course she would still invite me to her house and I'd say, oh no, I can't, I'm sorry. And so one day she came up to me very innocently and sweetly and said, so we can't be best friends anymore because best friends go to each other's houses. So Karen's my new best friend. Right. And I was like,
aww.
I know, like when I think back to little girl Amy, I want to just like hold her because she wasn't trying to, like, my friend was not trying to hurt my feelings. And it just seemed very, you know, as a little girl, you go to each other's houses, right? That's what we did. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. And so it's interesting because this story has come up in adulthood of a pivotal story that I've worked through some of it because I recognize that was actually like a pretty traumatic experience for me. And it continues to give me these lessons of like how I responded to that. And even what you said here about, which is eye-opening for me, of I needed to have everything figured out, manage the variables. And I think that was one of those experiences where I also decided like, oh, okay, I'm not gonna let people in too deep because I'll get really hurt, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm such a stand for like authenticity now, because over the years of my adulthood, I've been peeling back, like taking off the masks and peeling back the layers. And I love having these types of conversations so that I can get these insights around what are those blocks that I still have as hidden blocks.
Yeah. The next place I want to go with this, Amy, is it's something that is causing you pain, but there's also the flip side, which is it's part of what's given you success. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this meaning that you made as a 7-year-old, that you have to manage all the variables, right? You have to figure all the things out, right? Is one of the things that makes you a successful entrepreneur. You are tracking all these things. Okay. And it's also one of the things that causes anxiety and a feeling that's not so great. So just a real quick sort of tactical toolkit here. Okay. Which is, now that you have this awareness that you can't be unaware of, right? You have the backstory. It helps our mind go, oh, I get it now. That's where this is coming from. That's what I'm trying to do. Then we have this frame. It's both for you and a bit of a sabotage. Okay. Both. It's not either or.
Right.
So then when it comes up, when you get off of this call and you dive right back into work and you got that like undercurrent of anxiety. Can you feel it in your body where the undercurrent of anxiety is?
Yeah. I mean, there's like a tension, like in my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just in my like heart space too, just like,
yeah, like a bracing there.
Yeah. Just like, there are times when I'll notice that my body is tense. My shoulders are up and my, like, and there's like tension. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, just take a deep breath, Amy. It's going to be okay.
Hey, just taking a little break here. After the end of this podcast, Amy and I ended the recording. We were chit-chatting, talking about opportunities and different ways that we could support each other. And I realized that she shared a lot about her business at the beginning of this when she was introducing herself. And I had this great idea that she could give it savings to our audience. And I loved that idea. We talked about a variety of different ways to make that happen. And we came up with a promo code, which we think is going to be the best way to pass this connection and savings on to you. So if you're interested in that, go to idealclienthandbook.com/demo. She's going to do a little demo for you, very short, so you can see how it works. And then use promo code AMIRA20. So that's AMIRA20. And you'll get 20% off, which is amazing. So thank you, Amy. And we'll put all these links and codes in the show notes so that you can find them. But check out her stuff if you're interested. It's been a complete game changer for me and my team. I very rarely shout out people and their products on this podcast, but this is one that I've used myself and really love deeply. It's been a great journey into AI done well with authenticity. So check it out, idealclienthandbook.com/demo, promo code AMIRA20. Okay, back to the coaching. So I want to take it a little step forward, further than that. So that's great. So you have bodily awareness. That's an embodied, so you're embodying fear, and we want to embody calm, confidence. Well, why don't you tell me what you would like to embody? I'm putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, an unstoppable woman. Yeah. So I like, whenever I think about it, like, my desired state would be to be grounded, calm, confident, deepening my trust within myself. So just feeling that inner trust, you know, like
trust was the word that came up for me first when we were talking about the pivot in your business. And then this wholeness hole, I was like, this is really a trust issue. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And I'll connect the dots on that in a minute, but I want to finish on the embodied thing. So when you think of trust, do you know what that feels like in your body?
I haven't really ever thought about it, actually.
Let's use our imagination so that you can tap into that. So when you imagine, feel like, who do you trust the most in this world?
Ken.
That's what I thought. Ken's her husband. Okay. So when you imagine like leaning into Ken, right? And just, he's got it, right? Some conversation where you've shared something and he holds space for you, or something in the business, or like, what does that feel like to lean in and just trust? Okay, you got it. Okay. Okay. You know what that feels like now, correct? Can you feel that in your body? Yeah. For those of you who are listening, not watching, I could see a shift in her body. Okay. Okay. So you can open your eyes now. You know what trust feels like. Okay. You didn't a minute ago. Now you do. Right. You didn't have a full articulation of it. Okay. But you now know what trust feels like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just practice that. So here you are. I'm going to make up a scenario for expediency. You get off of this call, you go and check your emails. There's 20 emails that have come in. You start opening it one, and there's like this undercurrent of anxiety that comes up, like the variables. And I'm going to swear, you can turn this off if you're listening in podcast world, the oh shit energy comes up. Okay. And then what can you do in that moment? Well, you now know what trust feels like. Okay. And so you can use, this is where like that concept speaking, you know, truth to power comes in, right? So you can say to yourself, oh, there I feel I am embodying that anxiety. Okay. I'm going to use that as shorthand, but you could say the variables or whatever you want to call that. Okay. Shorthand. That's me going into an automatic conditioned pattern.
Yeah.
That both helps me and hurts me. I want to take the good out of that, which is I do want to look at all the things. Okay. But I also want to trust that it's all going to work out.
Right.
So I just spoke that in words out loud, and that took a beat to say. You can say that to yourself in a split second inside your head. That conversation happens in an instant. Oh, it's like, oh yeah, there I go again. I don't, right? Like you know that. Okay. And then you breathe into trust and you connect to that feeling. Yeah. Okay. So you just tap into that feeling. Can you do that right now? Yeah. Now open your eyes, remaining in that sense of trust. And now you're going to look at your email and you're going to maintain that sense of trust in your body as you're looking at that with the intellectual understanding, the knowledge that you are going to look at the variables, but from a place of trust. So where most people go is, I'm either going to be in this panicked anxiety state where I'm like, there's a staccato feeling to it, right? I'm like trying to jump from one scenario to another, capturing all the variables, or I'm going to be in trust and not be looking at any of that. I don't want that either or for you. Okay. Because there's a value to that. And this is one of the things that comes up with so many women is like, that's the strategy that made me successful, right? Yeah. So I can't let go of that. What's going to happen if I let go of that? Because they go to that flip. It's not a flip. Okay. Or it doesn't have to be a flip. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions on that as a strategy?
I absolutely love it though. I mean, I have never thought of it as that something could both help me and hurt me at the same time. Like I wrote that down because I think, like what you said, in this conditioned pattern, it has benefited me, but it has also hurt me. And it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to continue to hurt me. And I don't have to completely abandon it if there's a piece of it that's worked for me. Right. So what I love about this, when you said like, breathe into trust, like I'm totally going to put on a post-it on my desk, like, you know, like, like just breathe into trust. And anytime I have one of those moments when they say, okay, connect in with my dear friend, Amira, breathe into trust. And, you know, when you're saying that, one thing I've noticed is that whenever I am feeling anxious about something that I know that I need or get to work on, I know if I say get to, I'm like, I'm just going to use the word need, that I need to work on that feels big, that feels challenging. As soon as I start and get into it, I relax into it. Right.
Yeah.
And it's something that I actually read an article recently, a psychology article that said that motivation is not a light switch that you just like turn on or off. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get motivated. Right. It said, it's when you start doing the thing that you might currently be avoiding that once you're in it, the motivation psychologically and emotionally, mentally increases.
Totally. So it's like the 10-minute rule, right? It's like you can do anything for 10 minutes. You just start 10 minutes. Oh, and then you're in it and all the like noise has gone away. Totally.
Totally. One of my favorite entrepreneurs, his name is Jesse Itzler. One of his mantras that I've adopted is just start. Like instead of saying just do it like Nike, it's like, no, it's too overwhelming. Just start. And so everyone's like, I'll write that down. And sure enough, as soon as I'm in it, But I love this. Breathe into trust. So as I think about, like, I actually saw an email this morning that I'm excited about this introduction that someone has made for me. And she was like, oh, and share some links and share some information about what you're working on. And I was like, this feels like homework. You know, like now it feels like a big thing, even though it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
I breathe into trust, like carve out the time needed to thoughtfully respond. And once I'm in it, I will relax into it. So I love
that. Let's go back to that for one second. I love that you love that. But like that initial overwhelm, I think is such a great example. Do you mind if we just kind of keep going down this little rabbit hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you know why that was overwhelming to you?
Well, my conscious mind said, like, I opened the email and read it when I didn't have time to do anything with it. I'm like, I want to answer this right now. And, you know, she sent this while I was traveling. And so it's been a few days. So there was a self like judgment about not responding sooner, all that stuff.
All legit. But yeah, like, okay, I need to do this. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's legit, right? And let's go a layer deeper because it wasn't just, I opened it when I couldn't do it. It's been a few days, right? There is that we're not going to dismiss that because we all have those things. Oh, that's hanging over me. I need to get that done. Okay. But the overwhelm of answering those questions, because here outside looking in, you know, all these answers. Okay. Okay. Like your wise self knows that about you too. Right. But there was, if I'm on the right track here, there was something that felt risky about not getting it right.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And what was that?
What felt risky was, oh my gosh, so funny. Responding and not having it all figured out, right? Like in that my new website isn't totally done. It's almost done. I don't have all of my assets totally polished and beautiful to share. Like I want to be able to do what I've done in the past. When it's like, oh, yep, here's this link. Here's this information. Yeah. I have a template already done and very easy to answer this email and then schedule a call with this person that is a great contact and a connection to have.
It's not all buttoned up. Look at that. Amazing.
Oh my
so you're going to see this over and over and over again, this pattern. Okay.
Yes.
So just as a little, I want to keep going on this, but as a tactic, as a skill, a tool that you can use, one of the things, and you'll love this because this is absolutely right in the authenticity lane. So, it is to speak to just the big fear that you have. It's not all buttoned up. Now, I wouldn't necessarily make yourself wrong in doing that. Like you don't want to diminish yourself in that articulation, right? You don't have to supplicate or anything like that. But to say something like, super excited to meet you. Thanks for the introduction. I would love to be 3 weeks from now where I have everything buttoned up and picture perfect to hand to you, but we are in that beautiful launch stage where things are on, almost there. Here's what I've got for you. And just owning it, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
If you own it with power, with confidence, without the energy, because people could say very similar words than what I just said with an underlying feeling of shame.
Right. And an apology, right? Like, I'm so sorry. I don't have like,
right. And that does not work. That diminishes you. That makes you smaller. Okay. So, but if you say things with a level of confidence, ownership, lack of diminishment, it's a really powerful tool. I mean, I mess up all the time, not because I want to, or because I don't have a high standard of excellence. Probably all the time is too much, is an exaggeration. But you know, I make my mistakes in life. Something happens, right? And if I can just own it instead of, you know, feeling desperate in that moment, it shifts the energy and it's much more trustable than someone who starts backpedaling or diminishing herself.
Yes.
And trust is, you know, I think I kind of want to move you from authenticity, which is super important, to trust or trustable. Okay. I think that would be a really interesting evolution for you to play with as an energy to embody. Like, you've got the authenticity thing down, but and I think you're trustable. The implication there is not what I meant, but like, yeah, for yourself, like self-trust. Yeah.
Self-trust. That's just it. Yeah, totally. I was going to say, for my own deepening of trust within myself. And it's so funny when you said a little bit ago, recognizing that pattern, I had a moment where I was listening back just a few weeks ago. I was talking to another, you know, influencer in our industry that I connected with. And he said, oh yeah, so I'm already noticing the pattern. He's like, just send over like this and this and this. And I said, I felt close enough to him to say, oh, I don't have it all like on the landing page. Yeah. And he's like, yeah. Oh, I don't care. Just put it in, like, just bullet point it in an email, Amy. Like, no, don't stop worrying about that. And he was so nonchalant about it. I thought, of course, like I would say the same thing to somebody else. And yet I put this pressure on myself.
I think this is a big deal, Amy, because one of the things I know is that you're at this precipice with this business. We talked behind the scenes around, like, mm-hmm. I think this is a $1 billion business. And like, you can't go slow. You have to go fast. I'm not saying without thought, but I'm saying that this is the time to move quickly. Yeah. Because this space, you want to be in the pole position, right? Like, you want to be in the lead. So I think this piece is super big for you, because if you keep holding yourself back in this way, like, these are 15 minutes, half an hour, little pulls, drags on your time. And then it's not just the one-offs. It's like this general drag on your time. And then you can't make decisions quickly and move forward. So it's a big deal connected to the next level, the pivot. You said like the 4 out of 5, the pivot in the business. This is the pivot in the business. This is an internal pivot in you, because you're leading this business. I mean, you have partners, but you're leading this. Yeah. And so this pivot in the business that you're making is really at the core, a pivot in how you lead yourself.
Wow. That's so powerful. I love that we're talking about this, because I've met with so many established, incredible entrepreneurs in recent months. And it seems that, I mean, whether I'm just super aware of it or I'm just attracting it, it seems as though everyone is in some form of a pivot that I've connected with. Like, they're either up-leveling something or pivoting something or completely shifting their model in their business. And what I love about what you just shared is there's an internal pivot in me, right? Yeah. And I know that everything starts from within. So thank you for reflecting that back. I'm definitely gonna be like totally journaling about this later, because I love this. I've been just shifting my own perspective of like, okay, in order for me to lead my vision, my business, then I get to lead myself and to recognize this internal pivot in me. And knowing that I don't have to have it all buttoned up. I don't have to have it all figured out. And I can just take a pause and bullet point it out in an email. It doesn't have to be on a landing page, right? It doesn't have to be all perfect and beautiful. It's all good. Like, they don't care about that. So thank you for that reflection. It's just powerful.
Yeah. I think we need a bumper sticker or something that's like the business pivot, like the success of I wish I could capture this in a little pithy line, like something around like your business success relies on your internal pivot, your business pivot. Your business, what would we say? Your business pivot demands an internal pivot, right?
Yeah.
For success or something like that. Your business pivot demands an internal pivot if you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
And it always does, because that next level, like, let me break that down aside from trying to find a pithy way of saying that. The concept here, the meta, the intellectual knowledge here is that next level that you want to get to in your business requires something more of you, or you would already be there.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So by definition, if it's not a lateral pivot, but a pivot that's demanding more of you, it requires that you become more. That's an internal pivot. Most people miss this, so they keep playing at the same level. And they're like, oh, I keep doing the same, playing this out the same way, the same, you know, moving forward incrementally. But if you want to make a quantum leap or a big leap, right, you're going for something really big here, Amy. Okay. Like this is no small thing that you're putting out in this world. It's a game changer kind of technology and way of being. And you have to, it's no longer Amy Yamada 1.0. It's an Amy Yamada 3.7, right? Okay. It's like you have to step up to that level of entrepreneurship, that level of beingness.
And something that I just want to share that, and this may be helpful to others tuning into this, is that what I recognize is that when I tap into this energy and open my eyes, there are opportunities right in front of me every single day. And I believe they're right in front of all of us. It's just a matter of where are we looking, you know, like, are we focusing on the day-to-day tasks and getting into this day-to-day routine and not even looking up and looking around and seeing, holy crap, like there's massive opportunity around us all the time. And it's just about like really being open to it. And I, what I've found is that I haven't consistently opened my eyes. And when I do, I'm just blown away. And that's when the floodgates open. When, I mean, just like I said, within this last week with some of the travel that I did, that some people I've connected with, and then they're connecting with other people, the opportunities, it's like they're beyond the scope of what I thought was possible. And I'm an optimistic person, but I just couldn't see what I couldn't see.
Yeah. So, a few things there. Yes, yes, 100% yes. And there's more, right? So I want to give you one tactical thing. And I want to loop back into that wholeness, whole concept regarding this in particular. You have a ton of opportunities in front of you. Yeah. You need to have people on your team that can run with this. Yeah. And I know that you have a great team, but I want you to think about how you can leverage them, the people who are already there, so that you can be doing more of this opportunity creating and less of the fine granular work. Okay. I'm not saying go completely hands off, but be more director level versus hands-on level. Now I know that you still want your hands in the mud, right? In you want to be shaping this product as you develop it further and further. But I think the beauty of what you have is that you do create opportunities, but you cannot be responding to connecting and responding to opportunities and be the executor. Okay.
Right. Yep. Right. Totally. I absolutely agree. And there's things that I have been taking off my plate early this year, and there's definitely more work to be done. So one thing I'm hearing you say is just like, continue to release control of some of these things and delegate to my team. So what I'm going to do is there's an exercise I did years ago. A mentor had me do was write down all the things I do on a daily or weekly basis.
Yes. 100% do this.
And then you should focus on 5% of them, right? Like just like get it.
Well, here's what I would say. I would say do that.
Yeah.
And I would actually, so the way I've taught this in the past is you do it monthly or you do it quarterly or you do it every 6 months, but you do this time assessment and you look at how you're spending your time and then you figure out if it aligns with how you want to be spending your time. Okay. Yeah. And everyone has a different sort of algorithm, if you will, for how they want to be spending their time, right? There's personal care, family, all of that side of things. And then there's business. And then within the world of business, what's your genius? Not just your zone of excellence, but your zone of genius. That's where it gets tricky. We know what we shouldn't be doing in terms of like calendaring and schedules and blah, 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 blah. Right. But it's that difference between the zone of excellence and the zone of genius that really gets us in trouble. Okay. Because generally the zone of excellence is where we have a little bit more like less risky than the zone of genius. Your genius, Amy, is that, you know, going back to that concept of authenticity is that connection with people and speaking about this work that you do, people are like, ah, this is amazing. That's what, you know, one of the things we talked about previously was getting on stages and being that. That's
going to be, that's your genius work.
Yeah.
All this other stuff on like managing, not for you. Okay. So you would do really well if you don't have a great second in command already.
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
This is really helpful. What I know I can do, especially so much has happened literally within this last week, right? So I'm going to set up a meeting with her so that I can recap what I've discovered and the continued pivot that she's been, I mean, she's incredible. So she just needs to know. So I just get to communicate to her and then look at what else I can take off my plate as we're in this transition phase.
I would like you to ask yourself, if you were only creating opportunities for the company, mm-hmm. what would have to come off your plate?
Mm.
If only 3% of your time was looking at the product, right? And giving feedback on it at this point. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the correct thing, but this is just a thought process. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What would go? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I mean, if you want this business to take off, that's what's going to explode it
right.
in a positive way. And yeah. it is the very thing that you're challenged with, right? Like, I want to be holding all the variables, right? I want to be managing all the variables. Okay. So you have to like let that go, plus trust, right? We talked about trusting yourself earlier, but now this is also trusting your team. Okay. Trusting yeah. your communication skills, but trusting your team as well. And that's not you clearly have a great relationship with your second in command, and she's great and she's uber competent, which is amazing. And this is now trusting trusting the communication, being okay if things don't play out exactly right, there'll be iterations, right? And letting her take on more and more.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. if you're able to make that shift, which I think this stage in your business, this is what's going to help you just explode.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Okay. One more thing on the wholeness whole. I love that you recognize that there's opportunities everywhere, because this is so key, right? There's no limit to the number of opportunities. And what it shows me is that you're actually quite tapped into source, God energy, infinite intelligence, all the energy that is, whatever you want to call this organizing principle that is our universe, right? It's order. You're tapped yeah. into that, which is great. Now, can you, the next level of trust is trusting the universe, trusting this organizing principle, like having a two-way communication with this organizing principle so that you feel like you don't have to hold it all,
yeah.
okay? Because right now, even so, I gave you very tactical things, right? Okay, you need to be 90% on the opportunity creation, 10% on the tactical development of the product, and you're going to let your second in command run with implementing and executing the opportunities. That's a yeah. very tactical coaching advice, okay? But what if you learned how to trust this organizing principle, this principle that's way beyond our power, so that the work that you the work that you do on a daily basis is the most powerful work that you can do. Like it gives the most bang for the buck, moves you forward the most, because it has the wind of the universe behind your wings, and you let the universe take care of all the other things. Now yeah. that sounds a little woo for a lot of people, but I know you get it, but there is this organizing principle. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's order. It's the order of the universe. And if you align with your desires and you have a good relationship with that, meaning you have a two-way communication and you know how to connect with it, then you can lean in to it and just trust it. Give it the job to solve these issues that come up. That is like another layer of trust for you.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I love this. There's a couple, two quick stories that come to my mind. One was, I'm overdue for a massage, but when I had a massage a while back and I had this like significant tension in my shoulders, my back, this massage therapist who's like really working at my back. And she said, and it was a whole body massage, but she said to me, she's like, ah, your back is so tight. I don't want to leave your back. Right. Like she just kept like working at it. And I was like, yeah, I've been a little stressed. And she said, ah, yes, we think we control everything. Yeah. I was like, yes. You know, like, you're so right. That's one story. And I was like, okay, thank you for that. This woman who was just, it was just one of those, it's like when you hear the message you meant to hear, I'm like, you're so right. I just need to let that go. And then the other one was a friend of mine, Erica. She was sharing a story about when she was kind of overwhelmed. She's super successful and has a massive like Instagram account, all these things. Anyway, she said when she just sat down, got focused, did her thing, and she reminded herself, the universe always has my back.
Yeah.
Just like telling the story really quick. I was like, hold on, I got to write that down. And so I put it on a post-it, you know, and I often will read it. I'm like, the universe always has my back. And again, whatever everyone's belief system is, I honor it. Yeah. And I've noticed that like, if we can just give ourselves permission to seek evidence of that in our life, you'll see it everywhere. Like even when
completely.
I was a girl and I mean, to this day, I consider myself directionally challenged. I would get lost, right? And I like, there were a couple times when I was a little girl, I got lost, like while traveling with family, like super, my poor parents, right? And I would try to find someone to help me. And also, you're not supposed to talk to strangers and all this kind of stuff. And there were two significant times when I would just pause and just like cry, and like, oh, you know, and then someone would come and say, are you lost? Are you okay? And then the next thing I know, my parents were right there, you know? And it was just like that trusting of like, I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to like have it all, like it's not all under my control. And instead, the universe always has me back if I just surrender and allow and like, not saying sit back, do nothing, but just like, trust yourself, trust the universe, trust the order of things. And it's like, I love what you said about aligning with my desires, lean into it. Cause I find that sometimes as I'm in this pivot, I will find myself continue to do things that I actually don't want to be doing. Mm. And so conflict internally, it's like, I don't want to be doing this. I'd rather focus on this exciting stuff over here versus this mundane thing over here that I feel like I have to do. So
what if we called this pivot something else? I just got that hit that like calling it this pivot keeps you attached. It keeps you like one foot into the old Amy.
Mm, yeah.
And like a little bit of an excuse of like somehow holding on, right?
Yeah.
As I, you know, how about since I've stepped into this new business?
Yeah.
It's not as short in the word pivot, but like it does, it's like you're already there.
Yep. I am. And it's true. Things are already happening, right? Like things are already happening. And it is, I'm excited that it's, you know, when you think about like your headspace, something I'm always curious about is like, what is occupying a majority of your thoughts right now?
Mm, yeah.
Right. And I'm happy to say that what's occupying the majority of my thoughts right now, especially coming back from this recent trip that I went on, it's like the opportunity, the creativity, the exciting work that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've noticed that that hasn't been the case, where the what's occupying my thoughts is the stress and the anxiety of like, is this going to work? And like, and of course, I believe we all know that whatever we focus on grows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to, my desire is to continue to kind of ride this wave of thought and continue to build that momentum versus slipping back into the old Amy, right? The old thought patterns that are not serving me. So
yeah, so super important. So keep the big desire, the big outcome, the big vision there, and how you want to feel once you get there. And then take that feeling of how you want to feel once you get there and live that now. And hold yourself to a higher standard on that, right? This is one of those things. I've had past clients who were really triggered by that frame of like, hold yourself to a higher standard, because it felt like somehow not supportive of you, of the person. And yet it's the most important, the most supportive thing, because the standard that I want you to hold is if you know that the outcome of this getting the business to that next level, right? Mm-hmm. And it will feel like what? Do you know how it would feel like? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It feels expansive. It feels impactful. It feels whole. It feels like I found myself the other day, you know, you and I geek out on AI and I've been using Claude.ai a lot for a long time now. And I was having a conversation with Claude and I was asking about, actually it was inspired by you, Amira, because when you looked at me at that event, you're just like, I think you have a $1 billion business. So I went to Claude and we were talking about $1 billion businesses, like online $1 billion businesses. And one of them was Netflix. And so I got into a conversation with Claude about Netflix and like, what was it that had it become a $1 billion business? And it talked about the revenue model. It talked about how it pivoted from the sending out DVDs to streaming and it was really fun for me to be researching with artificial intelligence on this topic, because like at some point someone had a vision and an idea of Netflix, of what it was. And at some point they pivoted, at some point they grew, at some point they scaled, at some point they hit 100,000, a million, multiple millions, 100 millions, right? Like, and it grew over time and it is what it is today. And it had me thinking about my new business that I am in. Yeah. And it had me think about some of the high level conversations we've had in the last few months about it. And why couldn't this be the future of this company and the impact that it can make and the revenue can grow and the difference that like it, I think there's a part of me that has a money story around like, oh, I don't, I get, there's a net. So this is the other thing that I want to work through. And I know we don't necessarily have time today to do this, but around how do I think about kind of really wealthy people, right? Mm. And there's a disconnect of like, well, really wealthy people are like this. And it's not always a positive vision. So there's probably also a part of me that's been in a sabotage. But then when I go deeper and think about it, like, well, if my company had that level of revenue and wealth, if I myself had that level of wealth, what good would I do with it? And I love giving back. I love, you know, and also being okay with living a great life as well, you know, in terms of experience.
Yeah. So let's go back. I have a little assignment for you. Why don't you go ask Claude?
Yes.
I forget. I'm blanking out on I read his book and I read Patty McCord's book too, who's the HR person at Netflix, but the CEO of Netflix, I'm blanking out on his name. Ask Claude, how did he feel when the company got liftoff, right?
Yeah.
Uber success, even before it was a $1 billion company, right? I want you to, and do that with 5 or 6 companies. I wonder if Claude actually knows, if it can search the interviews that are out there with these CEOs, and what is the feeling that they had? Because here's the thing that I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, I've never done this experiment, so you'll have to come back and tell me. But I'm guessing that they had an imagination of what it would feel like. They started to feel that before they got there.
Yeah.
Once they were there, although they were excited and satisfied, content, right? That it wasn't like this big whoop-de-doo feeling. Because if you think about this, go back to every goal that you have achieved. Most people don't know this about themselves. So I want you to really think about this.
Okay.
We set a goal. It could be a desire, whatever, intention. We set that. We think, so this happened when I was like going for $1 million, right? And then the next thing and the next thing, right? It's going to feel like this. It's going to feel amazing, exhilarating, whatever it is. And I am going to be this type of person when I've reached that goal, right? And this is the law of vibration for anyone listening who hasn't been listening to the podcast for a long time. Law of vibration says that everything in the universe vibrates at a particular frequency, and things of the same frequency, same vibrational frequency, attract each other. Okay, this is kind of a nuanced version of the law of attraction. So if you have a goal of having a $1 billion company, a $1 billion company vibrates at a particular level. And the CEO of a $1 billion company vibrates at a particular level. Okay. You're not vibrating at that level right now. Otherwise, you would have a $1 billion company, okay? But you can imagine that you're vibrating at that level. You can imagine what that is. You might not know what that feels like yet, okay? Mm-hmm. That's why I gave you this assignment, okay? And then you can, oh, they felt this, they felt this, they felt this. So then you can imagine it. That's what I did when I imagined being a millionaire, right? I was like, that was my first level goal. And I was like, okay, I'm going to imagine this. And then I became that woman, my version of that. There's many different ways to be a millionaire, my version of that. And then once I got there, it was a non-event, okay? Because the big change happened way before. I became that woman before I had the outcome because of the law of vibration. Once I had that level of vibration, the creation, the manifestation, the goal, the achievement matched instantaneously, but I had already done the heavy lifting. So it wasn't that big of a shift. Okay. So two things here for you, maybe more than that. The cloud assignment, right? What did they feel like? Let's just do a little validation there. Okay. And then two, how will you, like, what does that being a billionaire or getting the business to the level that you want to get it to, what would that represent feeling wise to you? Okay. Not impact wise so much, but like the feeling of the impact that would work. Okay. So feelings, not things, not actions. Okay. How does that feel? And then start feeling that now. There will be a dissonance there and you'll have a little bit of that imposter. Oh, who am I to feel that way before I have achieved that? Well, that's the rub. That's what you have to do. You have to be that person in your imagination before you're actually that person and start embodying her. I do a lot of embodiment work. Start embodying her as you're going about your day and you will start matching to that level of vibration. Yeah. Okay. Make sense?
I love that. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Plus it's way more fun to do that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really fun. So I'm like, that sounds fun. I'm going to do that. And let's tap into that and connect in.
Good. Any questions before we wrap up? I love your money question, but I do want to like put a container on the call so we can have that conversation another time. But sure. Any questions around where we went or how we got there or how to implement this?
I really love this, the flow of this and just also experiencing, like, I know experienced a little bit of it before, but like your coaching style. And I really just appreciate the depth and the journey that we just experienced. So I just want to say thank you because I'm just thinking about like noticing the pattern and like just going through the seven shadows and seeing which of these shadows am I currently experiencing, going back to my childhood, recognizing like that piece around needing to have it all figured out, having it all together. And then I immediately can see like multiple times when I've experienced that, when an opportunity was right in front of me. Right. And then the feeling and the embodiment, I'm definitely going to, I've been taking notes all throughout this and excited to connect in. Like I always like to deeply connect, right? That's my thing, it's deep connection. So I'm going to connect in with this. Yeah. And bring in, and then focus on both the internal and the practical so I can take it to that next level. I'm excited.
I love it. So good. So to wrap up, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for playing coachy guinea pig, okay? and playing full out. Amy is an amazing human, and I'm just so proud to call her my friend and check out her stuff. And what else? I think that's a wrap. I think that's great. If you love this podcast, please give us a like, give us a 5-star review. That makes a huge difference on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you're looking at or listening to this on. And if you can subscribe or share this podcast, it really helps us bring this material to more people and grow our audience and our impact. So we would be incredibly grateful for that. And until next time, thanks for being you and remember to live exquisitely. Okay, I'm Amira Alvarez and I'll catch you in the next episode. Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area
that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.